America's media landscape has undergone a profound transformation, and not for the better. Trust in journalism has plummeted to historic lows, with nearly 80% of Republicans distrusting mainstream outlets, while 80% of Democrats maintain faith in them. This stark partisan divide isn't accidental. It reflects a fundamental shift in how journalists understand their role in society. The problem isn't government censorship, but something more insidious: internal corruption through activism, groupthink, and partisan advocacy. What was once a profession dedicated to truth-telling has increasingly become an extension of progressive political activism, abandoning the principles that once made journalism a respected institution in American life. The evidence is overwhelming. Studies show just 7.1% of journalists identify as Republican, compared to 28.1% as Democrats, down from a more balanced 25.7% Republican identification in 1971. During the 2016 election, an astonishing 96% of political donations from journalists went to Hillary Clinton. This ideological uniformity creates an echo chamber, reinforced by geographic concentration. 73% of internet publishing jobs are clustered in coastal areas that voted heavily for Clinton. The American press tradition began with a fundamentally different orientation than today's media. Early American journalism was intertwined with the battle for individual liberty, essential to the American Revolution itself. By 1768, publishers like Benjamin Eads had established the press as the bulwark of the people's liberties, keeping government in check and ensuring officials followed the consent of the governed. The revolutionary period saw unprecedented intellectual development through pamphlets, over 400 published between 1750-1776 and more than 1,500 by 1783. These weren't merely informative, but provided philosophical arguments for liberty and representative government. Thomas Paine's Common Sense sold an astonishing 120,000 copies in its first 3 months. Approximately 20% of colonists owned a copy. How stark the contrast with today's progressive media, which often rejects America's founding principles. The early American press was courageous and openly partisan in promoting American principles of liberty based on Enlightenment principles, natural law, and individual rights. Today's journalists claim objectivity while practicing ideological activism, a far more deceptive approach than the honest partisanship of our nation's early press. Today's media environment resembles the partisan party press era of early American history, 1780s to 1860s, but with troubling differences. During that period, newspapers openly aligned with political factions. Publications like Philip Freneau's National Gazette, backed by Jefferson, and John Fenno's Federalist Gazette provided partisan lenses for readers. The crucial distinction? While early outlets proudly declared their allegiances, today's media maintains a facade of neutrality while practicing partisan journalism. Modern journalists aren't directly on political payrolls, but a revolving door exists between journalism and democratic administrations. News is interpreted through social activism frameworks that largely align with Democratic Party objectives. Unlike the balanced newspaper division of the party press era, today's media predominantly supports Democrats while displaying hostility toward Republicans, especially conservatives. This approach has fostered an environment where journalists use inflammatory rhetoric against opponents, comparing them to fascists and dictators. As Ted Koppel noted, analysis and commentary now appear on the front page, with many journalists considering themselves part of the resistance. Today's media, largely progressive and aligned with democratic politics, often delivers propaganda rather than objective reporting. Edward Bernays, the father of modern PR, demonstrated this by analyzing New York Times front pages, revealing that half the stories were attempts to shape public opinion rather than report spontaneous events. The Obama administration's Iran nuclear deal provides a clear example. Ben Rhodes, Deputy National Security Advisor, admitted in a New York Times profile to creating an echo chamber of experts and journalists who repeated administration talking points. Their narrative about negotiating with moderate Iranian leaders was actively misleading, as negotiations had begun months before these supposed moderates took office. Similarly, Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press dedicated an entire program to climate change while explicitly refusing to include dissenting perspectives, stating, "We're not going to debate climate change, the existence of it. We're not going to give time to climate deniers," effectively silencing numerous credentialed scientists who question aspects of climate change orthodoxy. The New York Times' mission of printing all the news that's fit to print has been severely compromised when ideology overshadowed journalistic integrity. Most notably, the paper deliberately downplayed the Holocaust. Despite Allied powers having conclusive evidence of the Nazis' systematic murder of Jews by December 1942, the Times buried this information or ignored it entirely. Publisher Arthur Hayes Sulzberger minimized Holocaust coverage, believing Jewishness was merely religious, not ethnic, with no special obligation to help fellow Jews. Throughout nearly 6 years, the Times front page mentioned Jews as Hitler's unique targets only 6 times, with just one lead editorial about their rescue. This wasn't unprecedented. During 1932-33, the Times concealed Stalin's Holodomor, which deliberately starved millions of Ukrainians. While reporter Malcolm Muggeridge accurately reported the catastrophe, the Times' Moscow correspondent Walter Duranty denied the famine's existence, writing, "Russians hungry, but not starving, even as millions died." Privately, however, he admitted to British officials that up to 10 million had perished. The media's treatment of different administrations reveals stunning double standards. While journalists fixated for years on a baseless narrative that Trump colluded with Russians, despite extensive investigations finding no evidence, they've historically ignored far more concerning behavior from Democratic presidents. Franklin Roosevelt systematically weaponized the IRS against political opponents, ordering Treasury Secretary Henry Morgenthau to target conservative newspaper publisher Andrew Mellon with false tax charges. The Kennedy administration continued these abuses, illegally accessing and sharing confidential tax information about wealthy individuals with journalist Ben Bradley. Kennedy also authorized the FBI to spy extensively on Martin Luther King Jr., with Attorney General Robert Kennedy personally approving wiretaps and bugs in King's home and office. The press deliberately concealed these behaviors from the public. As historian Robert Dalek explains, journalists in the 1960s were reluctant to undermine someone as progressive as LBJ, despite his Neanderthal private behavior, because he championed social reforms they supported. This selective outrage continues today, with media figures claiming unprecedented threats to press freedom while ignoring actual historical abuses by administrations they favored. The crisis in American journalism stems not from external censorship, but internal corruption. Media has shifted from watchdog to activist, abandoning professional standards for ideological conformity, threatening both media credibility and informed democratic citizenship. The path forward begins with honesty. Media organizations should acknowledge their political perspectives rather than feigning objectivity. Journalists must recommit to fundamental principles: verification before publication, separating news from opinion, and following stories wherever they lead, even when facts challenge preferred narratives. Citizens must become more discerning news consumers, questioning both what's presented and omitted. Our republic's health depends on an informed public, requiring a press that prioritizes truth over ideology. Until journalists rediscover their proper role of providing factual information rather than ideological narratives, the unfreedom of the press will continue undermining America's constitutional republic. We absolutely need a free press, but one that fulfills its essential function rather than betraying it.